Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief.
Co-host Tammy, my other co-host Debbie will be here in a few minutes, and our visiting co-host
is actually our floor director tonight, which is Sandra Wilkinson. So she will be joining us at the end of our teaching. We are very lightly going over the book, Live Women Believe in the Truth That'll Set Them Free, by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And it's a very good book. It has a lot of eye-opening, hey, I'm not the only one that thinks that way type of situation. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would be with us as we're being reminded of what your truth is so we can lay that alongside what the lies are, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the women that are here tonight representing all the different families and the seasons of their lives. Bless us today and help us to concentrate on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a great book to go over. I recently just started this other book by Johnny Moore called Dirty God, Jesus in the Trenches. And it talks about the ministry of Jesus. And the reason why I bring that up is the first couple of chapters are very interesting on other religions and what they do or think they have to do in order to get God's attention. One of them they were talking about in a country where they had a very sick child and they were outside of this God, they call it, the God's casket area, and they are praying to this God that doesn't exist. And actually just a dead person that's there, and they're praying and chanting and seeing what they can do so their child will be healed. And it was just, it's so sad to me that they're praying to a dead body, you know. And then it goes into the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and, you know, what he did for us. So I would just highly recommend this book, The Dirty God, Jesus in the Trenches, by Johnny Moore, forwarded by Rick Warren. Excellent. So tonight we're talking about Chapter 4 with the lies women believe about sin. And I just pulled a couple of them out of here. And the number one lie that women, or I think all people, believe about sin is, I am so bad that God could never forgive me. No matter what I have done, God could never forgive me. And I think a lot of that comes with our upbringing and what we believe that our parents would have forgiven that we've done. I told the youth group this story on Sunday morning in our youth service. But when I was I was just turning 15 years old. Sorry, Sandra has to rehear it. But when on my birthday weekend, my friend Connie was 3 years older than me, and she had her license. And she called and said, oh, we've met these couple of boys in Eastern Washington where I was singing. Let's sneak over and see them for your birthday this weekend. I said, are you kidding? My dad would never let me go, ever. And she says, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then. So, you know, you're 3 or 5 hours on the road both, you know, each way with two teenagers, you know, there's no way. And Connie says, well, my parents aren't as strict as you. So if you're staying at my house, we're under my parents' rules. And I still was like, oh, I just had such a check, you know, such a check in my spirit about it. And I was like, oh, I really wanted to see these two really sweet boys. And they were singing and playing at a talent show. They were in a band at the high school there, some, I don't know where we were, Yakima or something. So I said, okay. So it was a Saturday, and my birthday was Sunday morning. We got in the car, made this long trip, and the whole way there, I have got butterflies, I'm going to throw up, I don't know what I'm going to do because I feel like I am just an absolute rebel. We pull up at this high school, and these boys that we liked were in this band, and they, I don't remember if they won or whatever, it was a big deal, and everybody wants a pizza afterwards. Well, it's running 10 o'clock at night, and we're like 5 hours away, and I have church the next day, and it's my birthday. And I said, I am sure my dad has called 14 times to your house. And she says, I don't think so. He never calls you when you're over there. I'm like, because I'm over there at like 10 o'clock in the morning. I bet he's called, and there's no way. She goes, well, I'll call from a payphone. I'll call mom from a payphone and, you know, see if anybody's called or whatever. And she couldn't get a hold of her or something like that. So we went out to pizza, and these guys gave us flowers. And it was, we didn't do anything bad, but I basically ran away from my house. So we came home, and there was a sticky note on the outside of the door. I mean, it's like 6 in the morning. I mean, it was like bright out in February. So maybe it was 7 or 8 in the morning. And there's a sticky note on the door that says, Tammy, call your dad. And immediately, it was either diarrhea or vomit, and I'm not sure which way. But I was so sick to my stomach because I thought either, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm sure I'm going right to hell. So I came in the house, and there was a couple of sticky notes on the refrigerator and on the counter. Your dad's very concerned about you. I thought, well, you know, back then, there's going to be, my picture is going to be on a milk carton unless I do something here. So I called my dad. My dad goes, oh, thank God. You know, where were you? And I said, well, we went to Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington? Where I have been up all night long. I've been crying for you. I've been praying for you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Tammy, I've got to go. He says, I've been up all night long, and I have to preach in 3 hours. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I hung up, and my friend goes, but it was so worth it, right? I don't think it was. So Dad said, meet me in his office.
Ooh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So we got to the church, and I walked in Dad's office, and I sat down, and he looked horrible. And he looked across the desk at me and said, why'd you do that? I was so worried about you. And I just started bawling. I'm just bawling. I looked horrible anyway. And I said, I don't know, it was fun. My friend wanted to go, and we met these guys. Oh. Well, I said, we didn't do anything. You know, I'm blubbering over his desk. And he says, you know, I was really worried about you. And I said, well, he says, what do you think I should do? And I said, I don't know. And he says, well, I'm thinking about it. And he got into his desk, and he pulled out a birthday card for me. And he said, here. And in it was $50 in fives. So I knew he'd saved it up, because $50 back then was a lot of money for him, and especially for me that age. And he handed me this $50, and he said, happy birthday. And I was like, can't you just hit me or something?
Yeah.
And I said, why are you still giving me this after what I put you through last night? And he said, because I have prepared for you something, because you're my daughter. Because of who you are, not because of what you do. And I love you because of who you are and not what you do. And I saw big tears in his eyes. And you know what? I think that day, on my birthday, I found out what grace was. It was giving us what he has prepared to us for us when we don't deserve it. And his love, my love, the love that my dad had for me was bigger than the sin I'd done against him. And so as I'm looking at these lives, I'm thinking, man, am I too big? Is my sin too big to be forgiven? You know, and that was the lie I wanted to concentrate on more than the other ones, because I think sometimes we think we've gone too far. And if we've never experienced that grace with someone else, it's really hard to experience that grace with God. But I've experienced that grace with someone else, and I think you have too, Tammy, in listening to your testimony. And knowing that, and I was listening to the song, I think it was Chris Tomlin, I think, sings a song that says, his love reaches us no matter how far we run. No matter how far we run away from him, God still reaches us. And I was just like, you know, a few weeks ago now, probably a couple months ago now, in my office was a lady who was into prostitution, and she sat in front of me, and I just saw this little girl that was hurt, and even though she's in her 30s, and I said to her, you've forgotten what your value is. You've forgotten what you're worth. And she says, I've already done so many wrong things. I could never be right again, you know. And this past month, Group Health, which is my medical provider, we pay a lot of money because my husband's self-employed, and we had just kind of changed a plan and moved some things around. And I sent them a check during my grace period, and they canceled my insurance. And I called. I said, man, I've never had an issue with you guys doing that on your Water Grace period. We've been with you guys for 17 years. My husband's been with you for 30 years. And when I went in for my son, they said, he doesn't have insurance, but we'll take him. So they billed me $300, and they sent me a bill for $300. Well, meanwhile, I called in, made a second payment, so they have a double payment. I'm paid all the way till July now. So I've paid over $2,000 this month in insurance. It's a lot of fun. And when I called her this yesterday, I said, I'm concerned now because I have this bill. It's only for a couple hundred dollars, but if we have an emergency, am I covered? You know, I very much believe in insurance. And she says, no, she says, this is a good thing because you have a relationship with us. She says, if you make a mistake, everything is retroactive. I said, what does that mean? And she says, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone in, we pretend like you were already covered anyway. So we will rebuild, rechange, and everything will be covered 100%. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, this is such a great thing. I've been reading about grace this past week. Do you know grace is retroactive? No matter what we've done, God goes back and acts like we were covered.
Amen.
It doesn't get any better than that, does it? And when you feel that, and when you truly experience grace in your life, you give more grace to other people. You love people deeper. You understand people more. I understand people that have had major debt because I had major debt at one time. Bank of America wrote me a letter of grace. They wrote me a letter of grace, and they wrote off all my ex-husband's NSF fees in the thousands. They wrote a letter and they said, we only do this two times to two people a year, and we've chosen you. They don't know my situation. They don't know what happened. All they knew is I took my name off of the checking account. And the following debt has now been resolved. Like it never happened. It went off my credit. It went off my bad whatever. I don't have a problem with a loan. I've never had NSF fees. It's gone. And I'm thinking, that is grace. And I've experienced grace. Have you experienced grace in your life? If you truly experience grace and forgiveness, then you can take it from God. You can experience it from God. And if you have not, if you're one of those people that have only received judgment your whole life, when you feel God's grace, nobody else's grace compares. Nobody else's does. Sandra's going to meet her dad that she hasn't seen for years and years and years. And you know why she wants to meet him? To say, I forgive you. Before he asked for forgiveness. There isn't anything better than that. He's been living on the streets. He's made some really bad choices. You know what? She doesn't care. It's her dad. She doesn't care. She loves him. She doesn't even know him. She loves him. Because that's her dad. Because there comes a time where we look to a child, we look to somebody, and we say, I love you regardless. My youngest son has some communication flaws. Do you think I love him less than my other son that doesn't have communication flaws? I love him so much. So much. My other son, I love him so much. So much. I want what's best for them. Don't you want what's best for your kids? You absolutely want what's best for your children. And this is what God is telling us today. God is saying, I love you exactly the way you are, but I want you to be. I want you to be better. Why do you think Tammy brings Nikki to all these appointments? Because she loves her. She doesn't want her to change. She loves her so much. She wants her to be better. If you've ever been a caregiver, if you've ever been somebody that takes care of someone with special needs, you love them so much. You adjust to their needs. And that's what God does to our communication. He adjusts. He goes down where we are and wants us to be better. Do you know when the next time I ran away was? Never. Never. You know why? Because I saw the tears in my dad's eyes. I saw the emotion in somebody else. And I was listening to Andy Stanley today, and he talks about leadership. And in leadership, whenever you find a great leader, you find someone whose heart has been broken for what they're in. you want to help, and it's because your heart has been broken for them. Not that you've experienced yourself. My heart has been broken for those kids in Mexico. My heart has been broken for those women in Mexico that have no resources, that when their child, my son on the way here, Mom, I'm hungry. He just ate an hour ago. But you know what? I'm thinking, what do I have at the church for him? Why? Because he's my son. Could you imagine being on the streets and having nothing to give a child, and the child looks at you and says, Mom, I'm hungry, and you have no resources? I know what that feels like, just not having something in the car to hand to my child. Could you imagine having that feeling? Could you imagine? God wants to give us exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask, all we can. It's like my child saying, Mom, I'm hungry, and instead of reaching, what do I have? Do I have a granola bar in the front? And reaching back and giving the kid a T-bone steak. That's what it is. They're not prepared for, they weren't ready for, but they will accept and say, God, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much. Darlene's mom went to heaven a few days ago. Do you think she walked in the door and worried about the petty little things that we worry about? No. No. You cannot tell me that anybody walking through the gates of heaven does not say, God, thank you for your grace. Giving me what I don't deserve. Thank you for your grace. The other thing that women believe is, what I've done is not bad enough. The little sins and the things that I do in my life, they don't really matter. They're not really bad enough. It's okay if I do this and live in the world a little bit. I had somebody call me a couple of years ago, and she says, my daughter's, you know, a non-Christian, and I want to go meet her at a bar. And, you know, I don't drink. She drinks. But what could I drink to make it look like I'm drinking alcohol to be with her? I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, I figured, you know, since you don't drink, you would be able to tell me what I could drink to fit in. I said, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that we're supposed to fit in.
What about the appearance of evil? We're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil.
It's like, isn't that just the opposite of what we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to fit in. I mean, the Bible that I read says that I'm an alien of this world, that I don't look like I go there. I was carrying one of those natural root beer bottles the other day, and they looked just like alcohol bottles. And where was I? I was over here somewhere because I saw one of our youth. And he came in, and he goes, that just does not look right in your hand. And I said, it's root beer. And he goes, I figured it was root beer, but he says, that just does not look right in your hand. I said, well, thank God it doesn't look right in my hand. I'm going to put it into a cup right now. Because if you weren't surprised, I would be concerned. They also, I love this. Joyce Meyer said this, and so his dad. God doesn't just call us to be happy. He calls us to be holy. It says it's better, the Bible says it's better, and my sister is the first one I ever heard this quote, she quoted this scripture verse, that it's better to take an anchor and put it around your neck and throw yourself in the sea than have someone, a younger spiritual person, tempted them to stumble. Somebody had said to me at the pageant a few years ago, boy, Tammy will take Tylenol PM if she's somewhere and can't sleep or something, and apparently that's okay to take that. And I said, what do you mean? And she says, well, if you can't sleep, I mean, isn't that something that makes you, you know, that changes your mind, like drinking or tobacco or alcohol or drugs? And I said, does that offend you that I've taken Tylenol PM before when I've gone to Europe or something? And she said, yes. And I said, then I'll never take it again. And I didn't. She said it in front of 50 people. Remember when she said that to me? Were you there?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. I said, I'll never take it again if that offends you. And, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to walk a straight enough life to where somebody can't find something. You know, and I think Billy Graham's done a great job doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Dad was just talking about this. He says, you know, you don't have to tell people they have a crooked stick. You just have to carry around a straight one and lay it down next to theirs. You know, it's pretty obvious that way. Are you going to join me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing that I'm thinking about that is, so today I went and met my aunt for the first time, And she was asking me about my past because she's really sick and she does a lot of pills and stuff. I told her, you know, that I, because I used to smoke weed a lot, and I told her that I had quit it. And she goes, well, why? That's not bad. It's not against the law. And I said, because I'm telling my youth kids not to do it, so why would I be a hypocrite and tell them to be safe and not do something and then turn around and do it myself?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, that doesn't make sense to me. And I said, well, I'm a youth leader, and I have more respect for my youth kids than obviously you do to your body. Because I ain't doing nothing wrong.
Do you think, Sandra, that, you know, if this is kind of the one sin to have. The other one is that you can do something and never get caught as a Christian.
Even if you can never get caught, God's always with you.
Yeah.
So who are you not getting caught from? I think you're getting caught from the worst person ever. I'd rather get ran over by somebody I don't know than have God think I did something wrong.
That's right. God and one are always the majority.
Struck by lightning.
So when you ask Christ in your heart, which was how many years now?
Four
years ago. Did you have any of these disbeliefs that God couldn't forgive you?
Oh, yeah. I had just had an affair, and I never thought that God or my husband could forgive me. And to be honest, I don't think that I actually truly believe that God forgave me until the day that my husband took me out to dinner, and he looks at me and he said, you know, I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my past. And I was like, yeah, I have. And he goes, but you know, I have forgiven you for everything. And I've forgiven myself because God forgives me. And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, so when are you going to forgive yourself? And I was like, please don't hold your breath. You'll die.
That is hard to forgive yourself.
And I think it's the hardest thing to do is forgive yourself. But to be honest, if my husband wouldn't have brought us back to church and started to really believe in the things that he was reading and forgave me, I don't think that I could go the path that I'm going with my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I truly didn't start really not hating him until about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And I'm 30, and I've seen him since I was 8. Like, it's a long time to be mad at somebody that you don't really know.
Right.
And I'm going through the battle right now of trying to get my mom to understand that people change. Not that she doesn't know it, because she says all the time, I hated her husband when they got together, but I love him now. He is just so amazing. And I'm like, well, my husband's not the only one that can change. Like,
no.
My dad can. I did. You can. Not that she wants to right now. But, I mean.
Well, I think, too, because we talked about this on the phone earlier, too, that God gives us the desires of our heart when we put him first. And when you're meeting your dad, not to say, hoo-hoo, Dad, put me in your will. You know, I mean, you're not meeting him for anything bad. You know, you have said that you talked to the Lord and said, if I meet my dad, I want him to know how much you love him. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, and it was funny because the only thing that I was telling my husband, the only thing I want from my dad is for him to hug. I don't know what, all I want is a hug. And today on the phone with my dad, he goes, all I want to do is hug you.
Oh, with your, do you talk to your dad?
Yeah, he called.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121, and we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors at the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive